Have you heard about the fake tech support scam? I got a hold of one of these guys recently, and I was posing as a naive computer owner to see what he would do. I also recorded the call and my screen so you can see exactly what happened. And you won't believe how I ended the call.
Welcome to another episode of The Computer Tutor, tips, tricks, and advice from a computer pro, without all the tech talk. And now, here is your computer tutor, Scott Johnson.
Hello again, and welcome to the Computer Tutor Podcast. My name is Scott Johnson, and I do computer repair and personal computer instruction, among other things. I am excited to bring you today's show because I know it's going to help someone, or maybe lots of people, to avoid getting scammed. Today you're going to see how a scammer works. But first, if you're new to this podcast, I want you to know that I am here to help you. I want you to use your computer and feel confident that you can get it to do what you want it to do. I'm not going to throw any technical mumbo-jumbo at you because it doesn't do either one of us any good. We just want to keep it as simple as possible because it doesn't have to be complicated. And speaking of mumbo-jumbo, the scammer I talked to sure did spit some out. If you're not familiar with it, the fake tech support scam is one that really hasn't been around that long, probably less than a year, I would guess. So a lot of people haven't heard about it, and that means when they get the phone call, it kind of catches them off guard. What usually happens is this. You'll be at home in the evening and the phone rings, and the person on the other end will identify himself as calling from Microsoft or calling from Windows or some other familiar sounding name. And he'll tell you that your computer has been sending reports that it's infected, so he's calling to repair it for you. Now, since you weren't expecting the call, you might ask your spouse, hey, did you call about the computer having a problem? And in a few cases, the scammer gets lucky and finds someone who actually has called somewhere to report a problem, so you think it's just that place calling you back. But even for people that didn't call anywhere, pretty often the reaction is, well, our computer has been acting kind of funny lately, or maybe it's been really slow. Whatever the reason, this guy is calling and he says he can fix it, so let's just see what he has to say, what he can do. Well, that's exactly what they want. They'll have you follow a few steps so that they can log in and see your screen. This is when the big performance starts. They're going to show you all kinds of supposed problems, and then at the end, they'll offer you the solution. For a price, of course. That's sort of the template that they go by. Now, let me say up front, there's nothing wrong with remote access in itself. I use it to fix computers for my customers all the time. I only get a one-time access because every time I need to log in, the password is different, and the client has to read me that password from their screen. It really makes things a lot more efficient, and in a lot of cases, I can fix a problem in a few minutes right from my desk, rather than scheduling an appointment for an on-site visit that takes more time and is more expensive for the client. The key is you need to know who you're dealing with. There has to be a certain level of trust there. No matter who they say they are, you really have no idea who they really are. This is the kind of thing I love to warn people about. So I wanted to get one of these guys on the phone and hear what he had to say. But I also wanted to record the phone call and record my screen so that I could show you everything that happened. So I used my Skype line and a call recorder program to record the audio, and I found a screen recorder that I could run minimized and hopefully it wouldn't be too obvious. If you do watch the video, you'll see there were a couple of times that the guy almost discovered my screen recorder, but he never did figure it out though. So I got this guy on the line and I posed as an unsuspecting, naive computer owner. All I knew was that my computer was running kind of slow lately. One thing you should know is that the computer I used was not my regular personal computer, because I didn't want this guy to have access to that. What I used was a little netbook computer that I use for traveling. So since I only use it occasionally, mostly for just email and Facebook while if we're traveling, it really doesn't have much on it. And it certainly does not have any viruses or spyware on it. That much I know, because I remove virus and spyware from computers for my clients every day. You can watch the video of the call on my website. It's at computertutorflorida.com/033. I already edited out the boring part, so even though it was a 30-minute phone call, I actually got it down to about 15 minutes. You'll hear me talking to the scammer, and you'll see exactly what I saw right there on my screen. There are a few things I want to point out about this. These are things to watch for in case you get one of these calls yourself. Right off the bat, the guy identified himself as being from the technical department from Windows Service Center from Microtech. Well, doesn't that sound impressive? The basic game plan for this type of scam is that he first has to show me how badly infected my computer is, and then he offers the solution. Now, you might be wondering, how can he show all these terrible virus infections when my computer is not really infected at all? He did this two different ways, and both of them are pretty clever. So it's easy to see why people get fooled by this if they don't know what's going on. First thing he did was a fake search for infected files. He clicked Start, then Run, and then in the search field, he typed two things. He typed INF, and he typed Infection. So he was searching on INF Infection. He wanted it to appear like he was searching for the viruses on my computer. But in reality, this is just nothing more than a search for files that match those words. So since one of his search terms was INF, even any file that has the word information or even the word info will come up. So it's really just a meaningless search. But there are lots of files that contain the letters INF. So obviously, lots of them came up in the search results. Then he goes through this ruse of trying to open one of them. The one he tries to open is a file named acpi.pnf. Now that's a Windows file, so it's not designed for the user just to click and open it. But of course a lot of people don't know that. So he goes through this ahead of time, he goes through this whole buildup of saying, now I'm going to attempt to open this file, and if Windows cannot open it, then you will see that it is one that is badly infected. Then, of course, he double-clicks on it, and a window opens up and says, Windows cannot open this file. Yep, there's the proof. I've got a virus. He made a point of saying that the problem with my computer was not viruses, but rather infections. So I asked him, what's the difference between a virus and an infection? And here's what he told me, word for word. He said, a virus is a very common thing. It always pops up right in front of your desktop screen stating that you have a virus on your computer. Now, the online infections are always in a hidden format, corrupting your system, which you know your computer might suddenly stop working or suddenly might crash. And this cannot be defended by any kind of antivirus in your computer, like Norton, AVG, McAfee, or Cyber Defender, whatever you use. They cannot go ahead and protect you and save your computer. And of course, all of that is baloney. So after that, since the file would not open, he forces it to open in Windows' little plain text editor called Notepad. Now, once again, this is a file that's not designed to be double-clicked on and opened for viewing. So when it does open up in Notepad, it's just mostly random characters on that screen. Of course, this looks really bad and confusing, and he tells me, those are the infections. It was really crazy what he was trying to get me to believe. And again, you can see all this on the video at computertutorflorida.com/033. So that was his first procedure in showing me how badly infected my computer was. Part two of this process was what he called the Windows internal scan. This is where he said he would do a scan of Windows from the top all the way to the bottom to find the infected files. Never mind that a scan like that doesn't even exist. That's what he was about to do, he said. So he clicks Start, Run, and types CMD. This opens what is called a command prompt. It's a small window with a black background and plain text. It looks just like the old DOS screens from back in the early days of computing. Then he does something very tricky. On the command prompt window, he does a right click and chooses Paste. Now suddenly, all of this text starts scrolling up the screen. He tells me that this is the scan that's happening. Clearly, what he's done, he has a large file on his own computer that he highlighted and copied, and then on my computer, he clicked paste. So it's scrolling through that file now. Looks very impressive as large chunks of text scroll right up on up the screen for a minute or two. Then the final result of this so-called scan, all of the text on the screen turned red. If you can imagine a full screen with a black background and it's full of computer language, it's all in red, it looks pretty scary. And that's exactly the effect that he wanted. So why is the text red? What actually turned it red? Well, according to him, it's because the files are all infected. The fact of the matter is, whenever you're in a command prompt window and you type the command color C, just the word color and the letter C, it turns the text red. And there it was, the command was right there on the screen, color C. He didn't even try to hide it because he knows that almost no one will recognize what that is. So that was his big demonstration that my computer had system damage of 80%. He told me the problem was that the Windows security warranty or license had expired and the solution was to renew it. Of course, there is no such security warranty. But he said he could renew it for 2 years for $299, 3 years for $374, or I could renew it for my whole life for $549. And that lifetime renewal fee covered any computers I might purchase in the future and any computers in my house. They're all included, even for future repairs that are needed. Now, obviously, this is a ridiculous thing to offer free computer repairs for life, but he just wanted to make the most expensive option also look like the best value. So I'm sure he sells some of these every day. And here's the kicker. If I had purchased that, he said it takes a couple of hours for them to do the work, then they would do another scan and make sure my computer had no infection. So obviously that scan would come up at the end and the text would all be white and clean and it would have an all clear report. So even though I would have just gotten scammed out of $549, I would be happy because I still wouldn't even know that it's a scam. That's why these guys can take payment by credit card. You know, most scammers will try to get you to pay by Western Union because then you have no recourse at all to get your money back because you're going to figure out that you got scammed in most cases. But with this, they aren't worried about people contesting the charge on their credit card because the victim never even knows it was a scam all along. Well, by this time, I was getting tired of this guy's nonsense, so I figured it was time to end the call. I acted like I was about to make the purchase and give him my credit card, and then suddenly there was this loud crashing sound. I told him that my cat had just knocked over the urn containing my grandma's ashes. And the guy actually started to laugh for a second, but only for a second, because I tell him then, oh, I have to go, and then he realizes about to lose the sale. I hung up, and he actually did call back a couple of times, but I didn't answer the phone. Maybe someday he'll see my blog or listen to this podcast and realize what actually happened, but probably not. Anyway, my whole point in doing this is to make people more aware that this scam exists, and it's very easy to get taken in by these people, but don't fall for it. They're very smooth talkers, and they are snakes. Their whole purpose is just to steal your money. And who knows what kind of backdoor software they install on your computer while they're connected. Just something to be aware of. Have you ever had one of these calls from a tech support scammer? I'd like to know, what did he say? I'd love to hear what happened. Just call my podcast voicemail line at 727-386-9468 and leave me a voicemail there. Of course, you can call that number anytime, night or day, and you will never speak to a human. So here we go, starting another week. I'll see you back here next Monday morning with another computer tip. Well, that wraps up this episode of the Computer Tutor Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you'd like to contact me with a question, a comment, or a suggestion for a future topic, you're welcome to do so at my website, computertutorflorida.com. And while you're there, sign up for my free Monday morning email newsletter. If you have a computer problem, give me a call at 727-254-9078. In many cases, I can take care of a problem remotely, so it doesn't matter if you're here in Florida, up in Maine, or way out in California. I'd love to help. Thanks again for listening, and have a great week. God bless.